Welcome back to episode 5 of Finding Our Balance. In this episode, we sit down and chat with 22-year-old Sarah Cooper, young, determined, with a passion for health and fitness. Sarah is a qualified Pilates instructor currently teaching at Lean Bean Fitness Sydney and Body Love Pilates. After completing her degree in journalism and public communications, she is now studying nutrition and working towards her personal goal of becoming a nutritionist.
Creating recipes is something that Sarah loves to do. She has a food blog called Scoop It Up, where she shares her own recipes that are accessible for everyone and easy to make. She understands the importance of being able to recognize the effects of what you put into your body to create recipes that are not only healthy, but also super delicious, and that inspires others to enjoy healthy food. Sarah also has an ebook which you can purchase through her Instagram.
Sarah describes herself as a high achiever and someone who thrives off having lots to do. She is focused, disciplined, and extremely hardworking, and we cannot wait to introduce you to her.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We really appreciate your support. Here's the episode.
Sarah Cooper, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. How's everything going?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
I actually met Sarah for the first time down the south coast of New South Wales at a health retreat called True Retreats. She put us through an insane ab and booty workout with a solid booty band. I could barely walk the next day. Is that how most of your classes are?
Oh my God, I felt so bad because the company that had sponsored the retreat, I basically reached out to Georgie and was like, oh, if you can get some equipment, because I always like using equipment, it just adds a bit more. So I was like, oh, if you could find some bands, that would be really great. Anyway, we found this random brand on Instagram and I never used them before. And they were so much tougher than any other band I've ever used. And then I like went to demonstrate and I was like, oh my God, I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, this is not my intention.
They're actually insane, those bands. I still use mine a little bit, but I struggle because it hasn't stretched at all.
They're actually almost too tight. Like, I'd prefer them to be a bit loose just for the types of exercises we were doing. It's like you actually don't want it to be too restrictive because, like, that's sort of like high rep classes and you really can't get that many. Yeah. The range of motion is really small.
Torture. But no, that was really good. So tell us a bit about your routine. So obviously being in isolation now, it might have changed a little bit, but what's your routine like on a day-to-day basis?
What kind of changes, like I do a bit of everything, so kind of I've managed to do, so uni has changed to all online, which is slightly challenging. I just started another degree doing nutrition. And I didn't do any science at school. So I have like a million questions every 5 seconds. So I'm like spamming all my lecturers with emails. I'm really bad at concentrating. So I'll sit down for like an hour and then get up and walk around and do something. So like it's keeping me busy. It's not like I don't have things to do, but I've got a lot of uni and then I'm teaching everything either through live classes or pre-recorded classes. So that's definitely been a very big change. It's so strange teaching through a screen. And like one thing I really value in a class is, or like I personally love it when people come and correct you, like correct your form. And I can't do that when I'm teaching and I often can't even see everyone. Like I'm too far away from the screen to see. So it's just like a really odd kind of like way that we're now teaching. I mean, it's good to like keep a good sense of community. Like they're all, you know, all the videos being posted in like Facebook groups. And so everyone's keeping really together and connected, which is nice, but it's just like such a strange adjustment. And I'm so sore because every single class I teach, I now have to do. like telling everyone to do it. Like yesterday I filmed like 3 full classes and I woke up this morning and I was like, my butt is so sore. I like need one of those, like, you know, those massage guns that like vibrate into your muscles. Like, I really need one of those.
That's so amazing. So you would normally you would be working, teaching Pilates, and then you'd do some study as well for your nutrition course.
Yeah.
And does that consume most part of your day?
Yeah, it does. And then I've got like all my recipe content I have to do as well. So, I mean, it's a bit tricky now. I was just saying to a friend yesterday, because I have so many assignments and I'm like stressing. I have so much content to do, and a lot of it, especially now, brands like really just don't want to pay for content. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can kind of like, they'll take what they can get as much as they can online. So I'm getting like a lot of requests for like a lot of content that's not paid, which takes a lot of time out of my day to do. And it's like probably shouldn't be priority over uni, but I usually use it to procrastinate. But yeah, so I mean, if I have paid content, I'll try and like prioritize that. Mm-hmm. And then usually my other time is just filling it with all my other like Instagram stuff or like collaboration stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And so how long have you been creating your own recipes for, and what made you want to start doing your own food blog?
Probably like a couple of years. Ever since I was like, I reckon maybe like year nine. So how old are you in year nine? Like 15 maybe. Mm-hmm. I got really into like cooking healthy food. Actually, I think it started with, I found, did you guys ever do the Blogilates Pilates on YouTube?
No.
It's so fun. It's like this little Asian girl called Cassie. She's American, and I don't know, I can't remember how I found it, but I found her YouTube channel when I was in school, and like a bunch of us used to always do all her workouts. They were really fun. She'd like do these like booty workouts to like One Direction and all these like song challenges, and they were so fun. And I remember like coming home from school and I pumped them out, like so much fun. And I think she started posting a few little recipe things, and that kind of got me into like healthy cooking and baking and stuff. And then from then it just became like a fun hobby. Like I'd always like cook for my friends and make like raw treats and bliss balls and whatever. And then people like started to ask me for the recipes every time I made stuff, and I was like, oh, I'm doing this so much, I kind of would like to document it. So then I started the blog and like uploading all my recipes, just so I kind of had somewhere to keep them all, I guess.
Yeah. And do you still do catering to businesses and things like that, or to
business? No, I did, and then it just wasn't profitable after a while.
Yeah.
It's all such expensive ingredients, and the markup, you can't sell it for heaps of money because people just won't buy it otherwise.
Yeah.
All the ingredients are so expensive, and unless you're really making it in like real mass amounts and you're doing it full time, it's not really worth it. So it's kind of better off for me to do like try and get money through paid recipe. Yep. Like content creation instead. But like I've still got friends who know I make the bliss balls, so if they want them, like they always know I'm here. And I've got like a few like regular customers still that I make them for, but I just don't really push it as much.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. As someone who creates a lot of recipes and does a lot of cooking, what would you say are your five staple items that you always have in your pantry or your fridge?
Oh my god. When you sent me this question, I was like, how do I choose five? But I guess it depends, like if you're like baking or cooking, because I feel like I always like, I'm such a flavor person, like I like, so like chili and garlic are like definitely, I don't know if I can like group them, but they're definitely like, I add them to everything, especially chili. Like my family loves spice. It's so funny, like we have friends over, and if we like cook for them, they're like dying. They're always like, oh my god, I need water. So definitely chili and garlic. Always like some sort of like green vegetable. I love like basing all my, like I usually have savory breakfast as well, so like most of my meals I base with some sort of like, either if I want something warm, it'll be like broccolini or like broccoli, or otherwise like fresh, I just love like fresh rocket or like iceberg lettuce, like something really fresh like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then tahini, I love tahini.
I was just about to say, I've seen a lot of your recipes with tahini, and I literally went to Coles yesterday and bought some because I'm like, oh, I feel like I can use this for a lot of things.
It's so funny. Like I remember one day my friend texted me, I like posted something. She was like, Sarah Tahini Cooper, like, what are you doing? I was like, oh my God, I was like, this is a problem, isn't it? And I just, it's so good. Like I bake it. It's really good to bind stuff with. And especially if you're nut free or you're cooking recipes for your kids at school where you can't have nuts. So often like heaps of recipes that use nut butter, you can just replace it for tahini. And it's really good if you drizzle it over veggies, like if you make sweet potato chips or like any, like I love roasted Brussels sprouts with tahini. That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? Oh, definitely like good 90% dark chocolate. Definitely a staple.
What about if you're baking? What would be your staples?
So instead of more, like dinners and stuff.
Because Leah and I were having this conversation the other day, and I always have brown sugar, and I always cook with brown sugar because I have a sweet tooth. And then Leah was saying she only ever cooks with like honey or like natural stuff, and I was like, oh, no way.
But in saying that, I did go and buy some coconut sugar the other day because I saw a lot of your recipes you use coconut sugar.
I think it depends, like, well, when I bake, like always I'm always using like the really really dark chocolate, so I try and go for like the 90% because it's got no sugar in it. Like I my recipes, you'll notice like they're not really that sweet. Like I try not to use too much sweetener. I don't like overly sweet things, so like honey is, I find like super potent in terms of like sweetness, so you can only use a little bit. I usually use maple just because the flavor goes nicely, but I'll try to like not really use more than like 1 to 2 tablespoons in a recipe. Like I'd rather bind it with olive oil or nut butters or almond milk or egg or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then almond meal is like really good to cook with if you don't want flour, or like you want a gluten-free option, then that's probably my favorite gluten-free like flour, I guess, if you want to call it, to cook with.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I think I should steer away from my sugar, but anyway.
No, it's just like whatever you like, I think you prefer, and then you start to kind of notice how it affects the consistency. Like obviously if you use like a dry sweetener, like a sugar, as opposed to like something wet, then it's going to affect like, you know, the consistency as well.
Yeah. So you've also you're a Pilates teacher. How long have you been teaching Pilates for?
Just over a year. So not really that long, but it feels like longer than that. But I think I did my course around February last year.
Yeah, not long at all.
Yeah.
So what would you say are like the main benefits of Pilates? I actually started beginning of this year, I started doing reformed Pilates for the first time, and I like fell in love with it. And then of course COVID happened. And COVID. So like, what would you say are the benefits of it?
Well, I love it. That was, I think, the first type of exercise I first got into as a teenager, as I was saying before, like all those YouTube videos were all Pilates based. But I think the good thing is it's so good for any level, and it's really good for injury prevention. And it's not like, you know, it's not like something like F45 where it's like, you know, not that many people can participate. Like if you've got an injury or if you're older, like you can't really do it. Whereas in Pilates, like it's so good for strengthening all your little isolating muscles. So whoever you are, whatever kind of exercise you do, like whatever your body type is, it's always going to bring you that benefit. And I think it's so important for that core strength as well, because, you know, like anyone who comes in, I mean, my mum's a physio, and we always talk about this because she'll always get patients, you know, who they have a sore back, and it'll be like, oh, well, strengthen your core. Or it'll be like, you know, like I'm slouching or I'm getting really bad neck pain. So, okay, well, you need to improve your posture. And then how do you do that? Well, you can do Pilates. Or, you know, if you've got a knee injury or an ankle injury, or, you know, and then it's like, oh, well, you need to work on your glutes, which are going to help stabilize that knee. Or do you know what I mean? Like it's there's so many benefits to it. And it's such a I think nice type of exercise, because you can notice that improvement so much, because you feel yourself building that strength. It's like, oh, I can now hold that plank on my, you know, without bringing my knees down, or I can get like full range push-ups on my toes, or and it's like so good for women as well. I think especially looking at that pre and postnatal classes, which are really good if you've got ab separation, like after having a baby, and you want to re-strengthen that core. And I think also as females, it's really good because it's not heightening your cortisol so much. Like I think a lot of women who are like doing really high intensity activity every day, and then they're like, oh, you know, like I'm having these hormonal issues or I'm having gut issues, and a lot of it can be linked to that high stress kind of cortisol response in the body. So I think Pilates is a good alternative. I think people are finding a lot of their health professionals being like, you know, you need to slow down, do more low intensity activity. And then people might say, oh, but I still want to exercise. And I think that's when Pilates is like a really nice way to do that as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I started, I like the first week, I felt all these muscles activate that I'd never even knew existed in my body.
Well, that's the thing, because like, you know, you do, if you go to like a circuit class or something, they're all such compound movements. And then you get to Pilates and you're like, oh my God, there's like a bazillion little muscles in all these. You like find these areas. You're like, what part of my body is this?
Yeah. And during, you're like, I'm not sure what I'm working, but it hurts. And then the next day you're like, oh yeah, it's this one. That's the muscle. Yeah.
You're like, there it is. It's like,
but I think that's true. I think people get scared of like they get scared of not doing cardio, like not doing running or cycling or whatever, because they think they're not going to be able to lose weight or tone like that. So that's when they get scared of doing slower movements like Pilates or yoga.
Like you can still get your heart rate up so much. Like, I mean, I still like literally shake and like sweat when I'm doing Pilates, like, you know. And I think if you can really slow down the movement, it makes like the world's difference. Like I feel like that's all I say, I'm like, slow it down.
And it is a nice way to break up your like hit and running and stuff like that. It's nice to take time and slow it down. So when you were younger or even now, did you play any sports or compete in anything when you were growing up?
I was like always super sporty as a kid. My mum, I guess my family was always sporty. Like my mum's loves running. She's done like quite a few half marathons and stuff. And she's just always been a runner. So I used to kind of run with her as a kid. I got into like athletics as a kid as well. So definitely not a swimmer, but I've always loved athletics and running, and then just played team sport. I was never super competitive. So it was just, I just play like for fun, like socially with friends. So we at school kind of, we had all different sports, so we do like basketball and netball. I did gymnastics as a kid, so just like always like just loved being outdoors and things like that, but never super competitive about it.
No, that's awesome. What about your nutrition course that you're doing at the moment? Do you have any plans of I guess career-wise? Do you want to go down that line once you complete your course?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like I've already completed another degree. So last year I completed my degree in journalism and public communications.
Okay.
And I kind of went into that after school. Like I always wanted to do journalism. I always wanted to go into writing. Like I went and did work experience at Jolly Magazine when I was in, and I was like, I want to be a features writer. And then I got to uni and they were like, oh, journalism's dying out, don't do it. And I was like, oh, well, that's a bit disheartening, but okay. So I was like, I'll just do a double degree in case. And then I kind of got halfway through and was like, whoa, like PR is so boring. And I was like, I'm not, like, what reward am I getting out of sitting in a desk and writing like a guest list or like a press release? Like, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, I always wanted to be one of those people who loves their job and gets something out of their job, whereas I was like, if I'm sitting in a desk doing public relations, like I'm just gonna feel like rubbish by the end of my day. So I was like, I think I realized I wanted to do nutrition, but I didn't want to half do my course and not complete it. Like that just would bug me for life. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna finish this. And then I was always like, I don't know what I want to do. And then I decided, I was like, no, like looking ahead, I really think that I do want to work in nutrition and work with people and, you know, help them be healthy. And especially I think I'm quite like fascinated in how food can treat disease. So, you know, I'm not necessarily that type of, I don't think I want to become just like a weight loss nutritionist. Like I don't really want people coming to me just being like, I want to lose weight. But like I'd more specifically like to help people with underlying conditions, you know, so people have some kind of illness that they want to try and prevent or treat with food rather than antibiotics, or, you know, take them off like a lot more toxic medicines and try heal it through like holistic ways instead.
And do you yourself follow any sort of diet guidelines? Have you ever tried any specific, have you tried the vegan, the vegetarian? Have you ever done any of those sort of diets?
No, I haven't. I know that sounds really boring, but I could never be vegetarian in my household. Like, that just would not happen. My parents are South African, so like we have a barbecue at least once a week with a lot of meat. And like I've just grown up that way, and I like I'd rather kind of get my protein that way. I feel like if I eat a lot of like chickpeas and legumes, like my stomach goes a bit bananas. So, and I think that's the thing, it's just like whatever works for you is the best way. Like I get so many people messaging me on Instagram and like, can you do what I eat in a day? And I'm like, no, because like, just because like I eat, that doesn't mean you should, and it doesn't mean it's going to make you feel the same as it does for me. You know what I mean?
Everyone's so different.
Yeah. Everyone's so different. So I think it's good to kind of figure out what makes you feel good and like what you thrive off. And, you know, again, it depends on your body and what exercise you're doing and things like that.
Yeah. And where would you see yourself, say, 5 years from now? What do you see yourself doing?
No. I had this question. I'm like, what am I doing tomorrow? I don't know. Well, I mean, so 3 years, I'm going to finish my degree. I'd love to be practicing nutrition. I don't really know how that's going to work. I think ultimately I'd love to work for myself, which in a way I sort of do now in terms of my Scoop It Up stuff. But I think I don't know how hard it is to kind of hit the ground running in terms of, you know, to graduate and work for yourself straight away is tricky. So whether I start working with or for someone else to start with, but in 5 years, I'd love to be working as a nutritionist. So seeing patients, seeing clients.
It's a big question. No one really knows.
I'm sitting here, I'm like, where am I going to be living? What am I doing? I'm like, oh God.
How old are you now?
I'm 22.
Okay. So you're super young. So you've got so much time ahead of you. And I think you've already achieved so much being only 22. Like, that's pretty amazing.
I'm such a high achiever though. I need to do this better. I'm like, oh, like I thrive off having like a lot to do as well.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm like, look at my, because I'm 23 and I'm like, I should be doing this, should be doing that, what am I doing? And you just get in your head sometimes and you're like,
I know, and I'm like, I'm always so frantic and my mom's like, slow down. And I'm like, yes, but if I didn't have anything to do, then I'd also be less motivated. Like, I feel like when you're under a bit of pressure to do things, you kind of, you know, makes you get it done a bit better.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely work better under pressure.
Yeah.
So you spoke a bit about your routine earlier on in regards to nutrition, your studying and your Pilates. What can you elaborate a little bit more on what you would do, for example, when you wake up to when you go to bed at night?
Yeah. So, I mean, especially now, during like this time when we're all kind of at home, what's been really helpful, I bought like a mini little, I'm like always making to-do lists. I'm just writing things down and I'm wasting so much paper. But I really like being able to like write it down and cross it off. So I bought a little whiteboard, and I have it on my desk, and I've just been writing like little things or like little goals for me to do, and like trying to make them attainable. So not just, you know, do this every single day, but like, for example, I never get up early. Like, I'm so bad at getting up early.
Yeah.
I always end up going to bed late. Everyone had been posting how amazing the sunrise has been lately. I don't know why, if it's to do with like daylight savings changing recently or I don't know. But anyway, I said to myself, I really want to get up for sunrise at least one morning a week. And so that has been so nice. So in the mornings, like sometimes I'll try to get up early, and I've been going with my mum, and we'll go and walk along the beach
along the coast or walk, and it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
At that time in the morning. Otherwise, I actually rented a spin bike and have put it in my room. So then sometimes if I don't like do that, I'll wake up a bit later and then get on my bike. It's like so funny. I like get up out of my bed, walk 2 meters to my bike, and then another 1 meter to my desk. So like around my room the whole day. And then, yeah, so I feel like just setting up, I think my most important thing is like my morning routine. So like always just make sure I get some exercise in and then have coffee and brekkie and then just kind of make a to-do list for the day. And so that might be, you know, like do these readings, do this assignment, do this lecture, record a class, do any recipes or content that I have to do, and then just make sure I can kind of tick that off during the day.
What about like meditation or journaling? Do you do anything like that?
No, I wish I didn't. Yeah. I think really, one of my goals is like, I've always been a very like anxious person, and I've always said, you know, you need to do yoga and meditation, and I cannot sit still to save my life. So I think I've always found meditation really hard.
Yes.
And same with yoga. And one of my goals, and I didn't do it last week, but I had started it, and was to just do yoga once a week. I found a really good yoga class and I did it at home, and I was like, I actually felt so good after that.
Yeah.
Like, and it really was kind of the first kind of class where I was like, I just feel really nice. So that was one of my to-do lists, was like just try and do that once a week. And I saw this meditation teacher actually talk about there are different forms of meditation. So, you know, for someone, meditation might just be being aware of what's around you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really powerful thing, like especially going for a walk without your phone.
Yes.
You become so much more aware of like your senses. Like the other day I went for a walk and I just like didn't take my phone, and suddenly I was like discovering all these smells, and I was getting like really excited. and just things I wouldn't usually pick up on. And I think it's good to like, or it's important to note that with meditation, there's not a one way fits all.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, for someone it might be, and I think for me it's like going down to the beach without my phone, going for a swim in the ocean, just being aware of what's around me and just connecting a bit more to nature.
Mm.
And separating myself kind of from my screen, or you know what I mean? You can be in such a beautiful place, and if you're on your phone, you're just not able to appreciate.
You take down your phone and you take photos and you...
Exactly. And it's such a, I don't know, it's such a weird, I find the whole phone thing so weird. So I'm such a person, like whenever I'm bored, I just go through photos and I'm like, makes me think of so many great memories. But then sometimes I take a photo and I'm like, Sarah, put your phone down and just take a photo with your brain.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
I also like how you mentioned how you're choosing to do one thing differently a week, for example. Like say you were meditating, you want to do it once a week as a goal. I think that's really good because a lot of people try and say, okay, this week I'm going to do this every day. And then they get to Wednesday and they're like, I don't want to do it anymore.
So, yeah, it's so hard. And I think that's what I got stuck with at the start. And I think that's the thing with goals, and people say, you know, you need a bigger goal and then objectives to get there and they need to be measurable. And I'm like, that's really overwhelming, but it is like important, I think, that you can measure them. So it's like, if I just do this once a week, you're like, yeah, okay, like, you know, if I don't do it tomorrow, I've still got the other 6 days in the week to try and do it. And then you feel a bit better about yourself when you achieve it, rather than be like, I have to do this every day, you know. And I think it's good to like find a balance too. Like, you know, if you're like trying to get back into exercise and you haven't worked out, you know, and then you say, I'm going to do a workout every day. It's like, well, no, like you're not.
And then
the minute you don't do it, you feel bad about yourself. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so I think it's good to like set those goals. And then it means, you know, for me, like on Monday, I was going to get up. It was Monday yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday I was going to get up for sunrise and then I didn't. And I was like, that's okay, because I've got the rest of the week to do it and I just want to do it once. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't feel that bad.
Yeah, and you can just accept that and say, that's okay, I can do it tomorrow.
Exactly.
I love that. That's so good.
So kind of to end every interview that we do, we always ask two questions. So the first one is, what are your pro tips for forming healthy habits?
I think the most important thing about forming healthy habits is to, when you're creating a habit, is to think about like, what is your why? And so I think that with forming any habit, you're never going to stick to it unless there's an underlying reason that you're making that habit. So, you know, if it's eat better or drink more water or exercise, like you need to understand why. So thinking about, oh, if, you know, if I do want to create this habit where I move my body every day, like why, what's going to motivate me to do it? So like, is it because I know it's going to make me feel better? I'm going to concentrate better. I'm going to, you know, get that endorphin hit. I'm going to feel less stressed. I'm going to feel happier. Things like that. I think that's just the most important thing and makes it a lot more simple, because then, you know, any superficial habits or things that are a bit pointless, they're never, you're never going to follow through with them. And if you're just doing them because, you know, someone else is doing it and you're not actually doing it for yourself, I think the most important thing with setting that habit is thinking about why you really want to do it, and that's going to be your best motivating factor to make it a thing. And I think, I don't know if you know this, but it's like, it's, I think it takes like, what, 3 weeks to form a proper habit?
Yes. Yeah.
So like it is, it's, you have to dedicate yourself to it. Like, but I think the best way to kind of make sure you really implement that is really like understanding why you're doing it and finding worth in making that habit.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's really good.
And then the second question that we have is, who do you look up to in the health and fitness industry? Someone who's a bit influential to you?
Ooh, there's so many, hey. I think probably, you know, Laura Henshaw from Keep It Cleaner?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just love her. She's like, I just have the biggest girl crush on her ever. I think with social media, like, it's so hard to kind of read, not that you should be able to read people through a screen, like the fact that that's even a notion in our society is just weird anyway. But I mean, she just comes through, like she's able to deliver this like just like happiness through like everything she posts, and everything's just so authentic. Like, you know, when you see things on Instagram and you're like, that looks really fake, or
Yeah, she's very real and raw, and kind of like when she has successes, I like feel happy for her even though I don't know her.
I know, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, she's like a really, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, oh, they're a really likable character.
Yeah.
That's not a character, like she's a person. But she's just like, and everything she posts is just so real, and it doesn't seem like anything staged, and she's really honest. And she's always smiling. Like, you know, yeah, what
very,
I mean?
Very genuine person she seems.
Yeah, and I think that's important when you like go online, if you're seeing things from people that kind of lift you up or make you feel good, that it's such a nice feeling. So every time I see her post something, I'm like, oh, like that either makes me smile, or I don't know you, but I genuinely feel happy for you right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a really good feeling, and it's so nice to see this day and age, I think. So
people, I know, and she's just, you know, if there's no kind of, she'll be like, you know, if I'm tired, like I'm not going to work out. And she's like, you don't have to be doing this all the time, and it's okay to relax. And, you know, if she's stressed, she's been like, you know, I am feeling anxious, or I am feeling stressed, and that's okay. And I just think they're really important messages to pass on, especially now that like there's so many young girls on Instagram, like so much younger than I was when I first kind of started going on social media. And I think especially for young girls, that's like a really important message to have.
Yeah, for sure. So, Laura, if you're listening to this, we've got a couple of fans here.
I love our podcast, Finding Our Balance. Awesome. So, Sarah, we're going to add your details into the bio. So your Insta, your food blog, obviously that has where you do your Pilates teaching as well. And everyone can access your delicious recipes. You have a ebook as well, do you?
Yeah, I do. I did create my first ebook last year, which was exciting and lots of fun. So that is in the link in my bio in Instagram as well. And if you come onto my Instagram, I'm still doing quite a few different lives. There's also, if you're looking for a nice Pilates class to do at home, on PE Nation's Instagram TV, I did one last week. So there's a nice class there that you can do at home as well. And I'm going to be doing some more coming up with some other brands. So I'll be posting those soon.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Just in case you wanted another workout to add, because there's not enough already.
Another one to put in the diary.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We've loved hearing about your life, your routine, and we look forward to following you and see where you are in the next 5 years.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Speak soon. See ya.